How do you feel about Peter's success? Think of all that he had to speak to, a large number of people. And really, although he was absolutely sure of the Lord's presence and the Lord's help, he did not know until they responded to his preaching, until it came clear that there were people amongst that great crowd who were becoming very unsure of themselves, and even more than that, they were becoming convinced that they were not yet saved sinners. They did not yet have an assurance that God was for them. Oh, Peter has outlined so much. He has told them of what David himself had prophesied. David had been assured by God himself that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was going to be raised up, and he's going to have great blessing and strength, and he was going to give blessing and help to all who were going to hear and to respond, to obey. Oh, much you might have said to Peter, look, steady on. Just wait a minute or two. Don't you think you ought to give them time to just weigh over some of these things which you're telling us? Therefore, he says in verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You may have had some amongst them who had said, hey, Pete, hang up. What are you saying? What are you accusing us of? Are you accusing us of crucifying this one who, as you rightly say, is your Lord and Christ? Yeah, Peter would have to say, well, that is the truth. You say, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, don't have any doubt about this, that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's not only risen from the dead, he is a saviour. He's one who is able to save his people from their sin. And they did become disturbed by what Peter was saying to them. Now you will have had a whole variety, I'm sure, of ways in which the great promises of God in the gospel are declared still from this desk. I don't have to struggle very hard to remember some preachings that were preached from this. I don't know whether it looked like this quite. It looks a little bit more modern than it did when I was a member here. But it goes a long time ago. But I can remember. And I can remember more than once. But on one particular occasion, I remember that we had two children with their mum and dad here on the Sunday evening preaching. The children were at school with their own children, and mum and dad of those children had come to tea with us on that Sunday. And they came and sat down on this side, and I remember my wife and I were sitting in our usual place back there. And this particular Sunday, Harry Cherry was preaching, as he usually did, but this Sunday I can remember so clearly that the Lord was helping him to preach with such power that I couldn't possibly see or understand or consider how that man, that children, the father of those children, how he could not believe. I thought, you can't sit under a preaching like this and still reject God's word and reject the Saviour. Well, that's what seemed to happen. Was that poor man, he went out with his wife and the children, and he, as far as I know, he made no profession, no statement that he came to know the Saviour. Oh, my friend, if you have, so many of your dear friends I've never seen before. But if some of you have heard the preaching here, as you will have done, just again and again, perhaps last Sunday, and again you will next Sunday, are you going to be like these people? Have you a concern when they say, look, what men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them what they were to do. Repent. The same truth, this is the way, isn't it? Way to salvation. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, for the remission of sins, to get your sins forgiven. Oh, one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. We know he is. He's told us so. But we don't know when. But for him to come, and for you yet not to know him as your Lord and as your Saviour, that's tragic, isn't it? Oh, you have an opportunity. You have a promise now. And to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, and with many other words, did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Save yourselves. There's something you can do. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, these unbelievers that Peter was preaching to, so many of them. He said, come on, put your trust in Christ now. And what does it say there, verse 41? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Peter, whatever, how are you going to do now? You've got 3,000 extra believers you can serve and be strengthening. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Great, tremendous encouragement. Well, it was worth having Peter about, wasn't it? Yeah, and Peter he could speak very, very plainly. And there were sometimes Peter, he knew what was best. He knew what. You remember, I'm a bit tempted a bit to return to it, that time when the Lord Jesus Christ was just about to leave his disciples and apostles, and he was going to go on and suffer, and he knew he was going to be put to death. Although he knew he was going to rise again. But remember, he knew, as far as this world's things were concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that he wasn't going to be very much longer with his disciples. And there was that time when he got the disciples sitting around, and he himself took off his outer garments and it had a towel, wrapped this towel around him, and he had water, and he went and started to wash the feet of the disciples. Many of you remember that well. And do you remember what happened? The Lord went to Peter and to wash his feet. And Peter, he felt, no, you can't do this to me. Lord, he just felt that he was not good enough, as it were, for the Lord to wash his disciples' feet. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to explain to him all that he was about to do and get Peter, even Peter, to come and be, as you were, give way to the Lord. So often Peter at first felt he knew better. Oh well, the Lord used him for great blessing. He used him for blessing there when the Holy Spirit came, as we've read it there in Acts. But I just want to remind you of one of the scriptures in the Old Testament where those who, like Peter, were able to read and understand many of the promises and the things that the Lord revealed, declared, made plain of the way in which God was sending forward his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was going to come the time when he was to become the great carrier away, or the burden bearer, if you like. Like John the Baptist, he pointed to the Lord and he says this, he's the bearer of the sins. What is this? It's in John's Gospel. Yes, chapter 1 of John's Gospel. This is John the Baptist. It says, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. The weight, as it were, that Jesus bore, he takes away the sin of the world. This was the burden that was ever upon the Saviour as they nailed him to that cross at Calvary. But in the Old Testament, Isaiah, wonderful prophet, and again you find the prophecy pointing us to the Saviour. But there's just one verse, and it's quite a solemn verse that I want to point you to, and it's Isaiah chapter 53, and it's verse 10. I'll read it to you. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of the Saviour. Yet it pleased him to bruise him, to bruise his servant. He, the Saviour, his Father, he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be appointed by God the Father to be the great sin bearer, the sufferer for sin. And he will be the means of men and women and boys and girls like we have here amongst us all. He'd got this promise. He shall see his seed. He's being made an offering for sin. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He was going to be a wonderful Saviour. And here we have Isaiah telling us this all those years before. Well, of course, Peter knew all about that too. And so we find this dear Peter, so thrilled. He must have been thrilled as he realized this number which had believed the truth and been baptized. But we have this in the New Testament again and again, that Peter and other believers would have remembered many of the Old Testament words of these Isaiahs, which we've just read. And he looks on to what was going to be the life of the Son of God, and God to be pleased in him. And as you turn over the pages of the New Testament, you find you have this being pointed to again and again. In 1 Corinthians, we have the Apostle Paul, that well-known chapter 15. He says to those he's just writing to, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Anyway, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. But after that, seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Here is the Apostle Paul. He's certainly joining the ranks, or had joined the ranks, of being preachers of God's great way of salvation. Well, let's join with Peter again. What have you got to tell us, Peter, when you came to write these first epistles of Peter? Well, we read of the writing then of Paul in Corinthians, but back to Peter. Listen to his writing as he wrote, first of all, this first chapter in Peter chapter 1. Just listen. This is Peter. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed, you weren't saved with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is Peter speaking to us, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. How are you going to listen to Peter? Is that what he's saying to you? You believe in God through these words of truth. You believe in God that raised him from the dead, gave him glory. Why? Well, that your faith and hope might be in God. Peter, thank you. He keeps at it, doesn't he? He won't say, well, let us just slip away and say, well, yes, Peter, he knows how to put out the truth. Well, he hasn't finished yet here in his first epistle, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. But, he says, even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now listen. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, friend, I do trust that you, by whose stripes you were healed. There are those you're sitting among this morning, who's had their stripes, as it were, healed. We, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. We have a new life. By whose stripes ye were healed, the stripes of Christ, all that he bore to save you and to save me. We can't think but to it too often, can we? To know that I didn't do it. I did nothing to secure that salvation. No, Christ did it all. And through what he bore, I've been healed, and you as well. Just one more quote from Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And this is interesting. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that perfect, sinless Son of God, suffering as the just, as Peter goes on to tell us, he's the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He's the just for the unjust, is there to bring you and to bring me to God, and to bring us into true spiritual life. This is good news, you know. Poor Peter's not just sort of just giving his some idea of what the gospel is. He says, do you want to know the good news of God's salvation? The way in which he, at a tremendous cost to himself, he suffered and he died there on that cross. Ah, but he rose again, and he was the living Saviour. And it was that living Saviour that the disciples heard about. They, first of all, they didn't know, they hardly believed that he was risen. He sent a message to them that he said, you just go, he told this to one of the ladies, didn't he? You just go and tell him, my disciples, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the one who is my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Is that how you know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? He is the Saviour God. Jesus is the Lord and Saviour, the one who was just. Christ also was once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And you know, Peter goes on, doesn't he? Are you an active believer? Have you realized how great the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ was when he bore your sins in his own body there on that tree? Have you realized that your sin was the cause of his suffering? You say, my sin? Yes, mine too. What a Savior we have. And your future safety depends on your present believing. Your present believing, belief, not mere words, but a true clinging to the Saviour who went to the cross to be the one great Saviour of sinners. And he promises to receive. He will receive to all who come to him. He promises that he will not turn any away. And there's no one here this morning who will ever be turned away if you'll but come to the Saviour, trusting in him. May that be realised among us. If you are already a believer, you are will be thrilled when you have your dear friends amongst you. Perhaps haven't only just come to Christ, and you'll be just as pleased and happy and excited as Peter surely was when he had 3,000 come and join the church. We can't make any promises of 3,000, but we can look forward to seeing young saviours coming to believe in and trust in the Lord Jesus, and to know he truly is that one great saviour of sinners. And you'll know him as a wonderful friend, a wonderful saviour. You'll sing a hymn. I found a friend, oh such a friend, he loved me ere I knew him. Number 601.